Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. It is the month of November, so we are going to start up a new series of Space World episodes where we're going to be talking about all the episodes of the show Firefly, followed by the movie Serenity. So we're going to start things up with the Firefly episode entitled Serenity, and do expect spoilers. Have fun, everybody. Okay, we got a brand new series of Space Worlds throughout the entire month of November here. We're going to be talking about the series Firefly, and then ending the month with a discussion about the movie Serenity.
Yes, and we're going episode to episode.
Yes, we're going to have...
We are breaking it down.
10 to 15 minutes on each episode. Hopefully, maybe we go for longer. We'll see what happens.
I don't know. I mean, no matter what, every episode is packed full with so much stuff.
Yeah, so what we're going to do, we're going to try not to quote the whole thing.
But it's going to happen.
There's some amazing dialogue in every single episode. And we are not going to talk about what every single character is doing in every single episode. Rather, we're going to pick out maybe standout characters from every episode and make sure that we talk about at least someone new.
In episode one, we probably should briefly touch on everybody's initial introduction.
Okay, well, just... brief sentences on everybody because
first is a brief thought.
Well, let's
play by ear. See what happens.
Let's get into what the episode actually is. The episode one is called Serenity, and it is long. It is like a feature length movie.
Yeah, this is just a big. Hey, this is what it is. Get ready. This is gonna be fucking awesome. Strap in.
Now, see, it's not exactly like a movie because until you get to the very end, the stakes are never really all that high. You are just really settling into this world. And the show does such a great job of putting you in this world and letting you know these are all the quirky people that you're going to be on this spaceship with. Have fun.
Nobody is normal.
No. Everybody's weird.
Fucking psychotic. It's fantastic.
But we should start with the opening because this has a really long cold opening, which... in case anyone's unfamiliar, a cold opening is an intro sequence to a show before you get the opening credits and or the theme song.
Fine using that degree of yours.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for you, buddy.
So, the cold opening in Serenity, the first episode, not the movie, is like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And you get this war sequence where you meet Mal and Zoe, two of your main characters of the show. And... then you get this, they're in a battle that they ultimately lose, fucking spoilers, and then you flash forward 6 years and you see what they are then doing. And I think this is a good point to bring up the character of Mal, because you see him go through this really quick transformation where he is this, like, warrior, but not in the sense that he's swinging a battle axe. He is this really good strategic mind, and he's really good at rallying his people and keeping everyone together. And even though he's in the middle of war, it's all very lighthearted.
They can't kill us. God wouldn't let people. Because, you know why? Because we're too damn pretty.
We are just too pretty.
We're just too damn pretty.
But then, I think one of the most important parts of that whole opening sequence is when he pulls out his cross and kisses it.
Yep, right there at the beginning. You got a base of this guy. He's religious. He is fighting for the people. He's quirky. He makes jokes to relax people.
He completely believes
because they're in the middle of fucking combat. Right. But
he completely believes in the cause. He has faith in himself and his comrades, because he throughout the entire opening sequence he keeps on saying air support is coming. Guess who doesn't show up? So then you have this change in the character from that point on, and it gets referenced a lot, especially when he's interacting with the character Shepherd Book, who we'll talk about on a later episode, where I'm gonna break my own rule. I'm gonna quote the show. You're welcome on my ship, God isn't.
Yep.
And that's his attitude toward religion from that point on.
I don't care the rule. I'm quoting this thing like crazy.
But he still really strongly maintains that faith in himself and his crew. Mm-hmm. He has just lost that connection with the bigger picture, the bigger cause.
He's looking out for me and mine.
Yeah. Yeah, it has become that boiled down for him. And he still does treat it like a war. He is still, you know, the sergeant on
the
battlefield trying to rally his troops. He just, you know, has already lost and trying to keep from losing even more. So You're introduced to this ragtag troop of miscreants.
And it's a great way to introduce them as well, because right when you go into 6 years later, they're harvesting a cargo from a ship.
Yeah, they're in the middle of a job.
You get a great grasp of how what they're doing, what their job is. You
go
can see how they interact with each other.
Mm-hmm. You go from the middle of a war to the middle of a job, and you're in this war, you're on a planet, everything is loud and blowing up, and there's fire everywhere, and then you're in the middle of space, and everything is quiet and very still. And it's an interesting dichotomy there. And then, I did want to talk about the sort of science aspects of the show, because I never really address anything in particular. Like, this is how we're traveling from planet to planet, huge miles, and just like a matter of days or weeks. Or this is how, you know, we have gravity in our ships, that kind of thing. But they do still treat the space, the area of space, with some sort of scientific respect, because there's no sound.
Yep.
As there is not in space. There's no air in space, so there's nothing to vibrate and have your ears interpret as sound. And it's something that doesn't really bother me all that much, but I always notice it when a space movie has like spacecraft
explosion
and spacecraft like flying by screaming at you. Like, well, wait a second. That's not how it works. And it's funny because the show that maybe we'll talk about one day, Battlestar Galactica, we will not go episode by episode there though. they kind of cheat a little bit. They have very like muffled sound in space. They're kind of like trying to play it halfway there, but in Firefly, like, no, there's no sound in space. Don't
this
worry
is
about
how it.
It
actually is supposed to be, guys.
Yeah, and it gives it this this tone of, I guess, credibility, mm-hmm. maybe is the word I'm looking for. But it also lends an eeriness or a sterility to whenever you're seeing something in space. And for a show where everything is very chaotic and very haphazard, when you see those sequences when they're in space and everything is very sterile, it just reminds you, like, yes, all of this like very Western stuff is happening, all these gunslingers, but it's all happening in space. So you have that connection to like the future.
Yeah,
because it is supposed to be the future.
It is. It's 500 years in the future.
Which you don't actually learn until like the opening of like the next episode, and they have it from every episode from there on out.
Yeah.
Or do you? Do you get like a title card showing what year it is in the first episode?
They don't say the years, really, I don't think. But they're essentially saying Earth that was, Earth we used up, Earth it's gone. Now they give you a brief breakdown in the beginning of the episode about how it is.
And I'm not sure if in the first episode or not they reference Earth, or if you know that Earth is still a planet that people live on. I don't know if that happens. But anyway, it's really neither here nor there. So they have this job, and then you immediately see them like getting caught, and then they're on the run. And they spend so much of the show on the run. They're always running from somebody.
Every episode, they're running.
And they're using like clever tactics to get away.
Cry, baby, cry.
Yes,
make
indeed.
Make your mother sigh.
And what, I don't know, what else? What did you think of this first episode?
I think it was fantastic. I mean, it was a great way to get you hooked into it. It does a really good mm-hmm. job of defining every character.
Yeah.
It does a wonderful way of defining the universe that everything exists in. It was a good base start episode to show everybody, hey, this is how this is going to go.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, or you remind me of how they then, once they're back from their job, then they're on a planet and they're picking up passengers. And this is where you start to meet everyone who's not, like, core crew.
Yep.
You, like, Inara comes back and you meet her, and you meet Shepherd Book, and you meet
Simon,
and later on you will meet River, who they did not know was on the ship.
And then you meet some random Alliance guy.
Yeah, there's well,
an undercover Alliance guy.
And that's kind of the overarching plot of the first episode there, is that there is this mole on the ship, and they figure out who it is pretty quick. And they need to figure out how to deal with him while still figuring out how to unload the cargo that they stole.
Yep.
So you have the dual conflicts there where, you know, we have to be able to pay for things like food and fuel, and then we have to deal with this guy who is after this passenger that we picked up. Do we sell out the passenger? who is Simon, of course, or do we deal with this lawman, as they refer to him several times, again, and stay on the run? And I eventually just fucking kill him. And that's like...
Which the way they do that also was fantastic. Because mm-hmm. it hits a point where everything is building. What are we going to do? The guy is held prisoner. Oh, look, he escaped. He got out. Everybody's at gunpoint. Shits escalate. And at this point, you can see Malcolm's character just hit that point where I officially don't give a fuck. He walks in the room, guns the guy down, and then goes, hey, let's go, like, in the same motion. He just walks in, shoots him casually, and goes, hey, let's do this. We're going to fix it by doing this.
He just dealt with a whole ambush when he was trying to unload his cargo. He has had enough.
He's done.
So, you know what? I just solved this one big problem. Here's a solution to the other one. Bang.
Let's throw him out. Now let's go on about fixing the next one.
Yep.
It's just one thing after another, and he just reaches that point where he is the captain. He will make these decisions. He knows he can make the tough calls.
Yep. So... I think this episode does a really great job of setting up the rest of the series for a lot of the things we already talked about. You get to meet all of the characters. There's this whole mystery behind Simon and River. You're not quite sure who they are, what they're doing there. And that unravels
in the episode.
Yeah.
Eventually, when they do find River, you get that moment where the crew is sitting there and he's discussing and telling the story and everything. And that's when you learn about the big overarch thing going on with those characters in this.
Yeah, it's something that really isn't brought to the forefront. I mean, I suppose in like the episode Ariel that we'll get to, they do bring the Simon River mystery and what exactly happened to her to the forefront. But you don't really get resolution to that. And you don't really get to see why it is that the Alliance is actually after her until you get to the movie, which we'll get to at the end of the month.
Yep.
So, you have all these really great characters, really funny people. They always like find themselves in dangerous yet wacky situations. This is a really fun show, and I'm glad we're getting to talk about it because we got, what, like another 13 episodes to go?
Yeah, we got a while.
Cool.
The last thing I want to touch on with Malcolm, real quick,
yeah,
is a nice little, since this is like the Malcolm discussion episode, I guess,
mm-hmm.
is the way that he handles things as well. At the very end of the show, he's sitting there with Inara. And he's smiling. And Inara turns to him and essentially asks, what are you happy about, in a way? It's like, you were put at gunpoint. You got ambushed. We were on the run from the Alliance. We almost all die. Your ship almost got taken away. He's like, I got paid. It was a good day.
Yeah.
And that's just a great way to just...
Everything kind of worked out.
Everything works out and he's good with it. Let's keep going.
Yeah. And yeah, he's a character that is... not always in control, but is very good at rolling with the punches.
Mm-hmm.
He
will put you in line if you do step out.
He's
this is his ship. Mm-hmm. You're his crew. Do what he says, or he will leave you or kill you.
Right. And he's also very perceptive about things. Like, he spots traps immediately. He knows when people are lying to him, which helps him get out of these really sticky situations at times. And other times it's, you know, just kind of... Other times he can be very thick. He can be very dense at times, too. Which we'll talk about when we get to our Mrs. Reynolds.
That was a great episode. That was so good.
Is there a weak one in the bunch? I don't think there is.
Probably. Well, I wouldn't say it's weak, but probably my least favorite may be Heart of Gold.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't really like that one.
I can see that.
My favorite's either going to be Outer Gas or Objects in Space.
Oh, Outer Gas is so good.
Oh my god, it was great.
But anyway, we'll get to that. And that is going to wrap up this first Firefly episode of Space World. Stay tuned tomorrow for the next episode, which is The Train Job.